is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we are so far behind. You guys screwed this whole thing up. Scrunchy started it. We're so far behind on breaks. But EJ is here. He wants to talk on the radio. We'll try and catch up. What's up, EJ?
Hey, how's it going? This goes back to the taco conversation. Lance, at least he didn't ask her for a pump.
Yeah.
See?
What if somebody needs a bike ride home? See, that was not one of the questions.
You want a pump?
Yeah. And I would have said, is it appropriate to say I want a pump? And I'd say, yeah, in Texas it is. For the rest of y'all in the other parts of the country, don't get in Texas business, okay? Because that's what we call it, a pump.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have made things a little tricky.
Yeah, I don't think that wasn't on your, because no one else in the world calls it a pump because it's dumb.
But we're Texas. We don't care what you do.
It's not called a pump.
We don't care what you do. You're in Texas now. Don't call it dumb. You're in this state.
You
want to be a Texan? Then call it a pump.
I'm in this state, but I still want to change the wrongs.
It wasn't wrong. It's called a pump.
What side were you guys on
in the Civil War?
What side were you guys on in the Civil War?
We weren't in the Civil War. We were sitting there looking at it. We were sitting there like, that's between y'all. We're just sitting there with our Davy crowd.
You weren't in it?
No, we were doing Texas history. We didn't do U.S. history. We did Texas history. Do you know Texas Our Texas?
Yeah.
The song?
Yeah.
Sing it.
I know it. I'm not singing it on the air because then Dell will capture it and then I'll be forever.
Sing it.
Rebels.
You don't know Texas.
Keep everybody in bondage.
What is a Texas state bird? We're going to have to do Texas state history for you. If you're going to disavow the phrase pump, which all of our listeners already told you that's what it's called, then we're going to have to re-educate you on Texas history.
I'm going to take Johannes Veerman is what I'm going to take. Listen, have you put your open bets in yet?
No.
You got to call it the British Open because here people don't know. It's the Open Championship. So the guy that I get lessons from at Wildcat, Connor Black, went overseas and he has been caddying for Johannes Veerman. And Johannes Veerman has been playing his ass off. Dude went and caddied for him, and I think he's made about $40,000 caddying this past 2 weeks. That's how good Johannes Veerman is playing. So I'm taking Johannes Veerman right now against Jack Sr. Okay?
All right.
Not Jack Jr. -1.5. -1.5. So take at Jack Sr. The tournament, yeah. So here we go. Tournament matchups. Johannes Veerman. So for those of you out there, Johannes is playing his ass off. So let's go. Let's go. Let's bet on him. Let's go.
Nothing from nothing, but a guy who grew up in Chicago said, we called it a pump in Chicago, too.
What?
He just texted you.
No one ever called it a pump. Yeah. No such thing.
Yeah. Yeah. See, maybe it didn't make its way to the animals there. Your little part of Little Italy. Maybe y'all didn't. Little Italy, y'all called it a gabagizzo or some kind of little crazy Italian name.
No, that's not. What? That's not the case.
Was it called pumpalade? Because that means pump in Italian.
Okay?
Oh, it's a pumpalade. No, that means pump. It's like gabagool means capicola. The same thing. Boy, it's weird. It's almost like there's not sports going on, but there is sports going on. Tonight is NBA Finals. This is a weird rhythm to the finals. I'm so used to after last year where it's like game, 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 game during NBA bubble. And then this year it's game, off, game, off, game, off, game, off. Now, when we have these two-day breaks between games, it feels kind of weird in the NBA Finals. I think it's good from an injury standpoint to help out anyone that's banged up, but it's a little off rhythm. I went into yesterday thinking the finals were going to be on for some reason.
They've been separated by 2 days before.
Yeah, I know they have, but it feels weird after how it has been set up from the bubble even until now because we didn't see 2 days off during Eastern Conference or Western Conference Finals.
No,
it was
because,
like bang, 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 because they've got to catch up.
It is really, really late for this right now. This is extraordinarily late for an NBA Finals.
No, I know.
Mid-July. We're just starting. We're just in the game.
Because the season started
late. Right. The season started late. Right. And so you got to catch up again next offseason. So LeBron's going to moan and bitch like a little. Okay, so because I didn't get my rest. Yo, LeBron, you got plenty of rest. You were out in the first round, so shut up.
Well, he's not playing Olympics anymore. He only plays for the Toon Team or whatever.
Right, that's right. Yeah. No, I know. So anyway, get your bets in now because don't forget, it starts at 1:30 in the morning. Are you going to wake up and watch golf at about at 1:30 this morning to watch the beginning of the Open Championship?
Well,
that's stupid.
Safe to say I won't.
That's stupid. It's 9:13 ESPN 97.5. We got to catch up on breaks. And right now, I got to talk about HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net. My peeps over there, you mentioned Laura Beavers a little while ago. You can call Laura Beavers. I don't think she's going to, don't ask her out for tacos. But here's the deal is you should call her and ask her what she thinks about HRP and how it is for her business and how it is for our business since we've been with them, which is much different than the payroll company that we had before them. We had a payroll company that just wouldn't grow with us. They wouldn't customize. They said, no, it's cookie cutter. This is what they cost for payroll. We were like, no, we started with 25 employees. We got 75 now. We're not going to pay as much for payroll as we did with 25 people. And sure enough, we went with HRP, and they customized a plan for us, and it has been awesome ever since. Not only that, we do have HR questions for them. You heard David Gow, and it's not me. It's other people here that create problems for everybody here. So here's the deal is if you're looking for a great payroll company, a great HR company, and a company that's going to take care of all of your tax needs, all of your Affordable Care Act needs, and they will help you decide on what is the best benefits packages for your people. All you got to do is go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
We're not done giving away Charlo tickets. I mean, he's one of the fighters. He'll be fighting Brian Castano, but Superstar World Champion Jermell Charlo looks to make boxing history in his home state of Texas when he defends his Super Welterweight World Championship belts against undefeated WBO world champion Brian Castano. Make sure to get your tickets now to see the action live at attcenter.com or ticketmaster.com or from us. So caller 10 right now gets a pair of tickets to go see Charlo versus Castano in San Antonio. We get you the tickets. You have to find your way to get there. Charlo versus Castano in a world championship fight. Caller 10 right now.
There it is. 713-780-3776, the number if you'd like to get in here, 713-780-3776, to hang with us here on the show. You are more than welcome to get in to hang with us. So I mentioned a little bit earlier, coaches on the hot seat. What coaches, college coaches, are on the hot seat? I looked for Dana. And because you know what, he's got a win. You heard Renee
Couture. Not Kakua.
Not Kakua.
Or Renee.
Not Lene. Or, you know,
since they made an appearance on the show earlier today,
yeah,
this morning. Dr. Couture probably doesn't think. I can tell you this. I counted four, including one yesterday, who are donors to the U of H program, who they all think if Dana doesn't get to 9 wins, he should be gone.
Really?
That was them. Yeah, and these are donors who are hardcore season ticket holders, go to every game. One of them is a big donor. That's not unusual. This is year 3. Everyone had super high hopes when Dana came in.
Yeah, I mean, he came from a big – how many times other than we saw Texas Tech, now he's a
– Cliff?
No, he went from there to Cincinnati, and now he's – Tuberville.
Oh, Tommy Tuberville.
Tommy Tuberville. Yeah. We saw him go from a
Senator
big
Tuberville?
School. We saw him go from a Power 5 to a Group of 5, and we've seen Dana do it too. But it's highly unusual. So it was, that's a major. Won 8 games, and 8 games get you fired. So far, Dana hasn't won 8 games total in 2 years.
Well, there's a lot of hope for all the transfers that were because it was being sold as, man, there's some monster transfers coming in.
He's put a lot of faith in Clayton Tune, and Clayton Tune has not delivered. I've you know, he feels like Clayton Toon is going to be really good. Apparently now, well, this offseason, he's been working and looking really good, according to Dana. But you know what? That dude so far has not lived up to the billing and has not lived up. Now, listen, the De'Ara King was a disaster when he left. He was distraught. Dana couldn't have done a better thing for that kid than get him to Miami.
Well, I think you need to have I think to be fair to the kid and to be fair to you, you need to give – when you say he's a disaster – you need to give context.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's well, a little bit more than that.
Well, he was playing so poorly. He had so many family issues.
Yeah.
Real family issues.
His dad ended up passing away.
Yeah. So it was, and his dad was, I'm not going to go into it, but he was, it was really, really, really the best thing for that kid.
I don't think the mental health was great for him.
No. Yeah. He broke down.
And I think it probably affected his play because he wasn't as good.
No.
With Dana, maybe he wasn't a great fit for the offense. I don't know, but he was missing easy throws, and mentally he wasn't there. And
yeah.
It was probably the right thing for De'Ara King.
It was
to do what he did.
Unfortunately
at the time.
For Dana, now Dana would have had Clayton Toon last year anyway, right?
And he just wanted De'Ara to redshirt and come back.
Yeah, well, right,
right,
exactly.
That was the plan.
Exactly, he wanted him to come back, and he didn't, and he was like, well, that's fine. Now we'll go. But he did the best thing for that kid by redshirting him and getting him off the field. And look at what De'Ara King is making now. De'Ara King may be the most De'Ara King makes in his entire career because we don't know if he's going to make it as a wide receiver in the NFL. We have no idea.
But it's not just the NIL. Dell, you can speak to this as a Miami fan, as somebody who keeps
how much
the
he
program.
Got paid under the table.
Well, no, my point was I think he's been – I think the move to Miami has been – I don't want to make it the De'Ara King thing because we get off track, but – it's been good for him, and I think Miami fans are very happy with him for the most part, I would say, right? I know he was a little up and down at times last year, but for the most part, they've been happy.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. There was a desperate need for, it's weird to say professional, but they needed a guy in that room who took the job seriously. And for whatever struggles he may have as a pure passer, De'Ara takes the position seriously. Uh-huh. He's an example, and his example will be something that can be set as a bridge to whoever the next young quarterback is, as how the quarterback position should be played there. I haven't found, whether it be the message board stuff or just flat out statements from players, any issues since he's been there. He was the perfect guy for that time, and thankfully for him in the program, he gets a second year because of the COVID stuff. So we'll see if he can be even better in the second year.
Now with all that said, getting back to Dana Holgerson in hot seat. This is now year three. Was his deal a five-year deal, I believe?
Yes, but it was three guaranteed.
Oh.
Well, you know, there was no out for either side.
So it's not five-year guaranteed?
Yeah, no. It's five. It's a five-year deal.
Okay.
But the three is where neither side could get out of it.
But how can Houston get out of it this year?
Well, after this year, you know what? The buyout isn't. Is nearly
so it's
as,
not $8 million.
No.
Because that's what would be owed him for the next right. 2 years. Then I would say Dana's,
all I remember from, and I'll go look up his contract. I didn't think we'd be talking about his contract. All I know is that I know that there were 3 years that he couldn't get out. This says right now that the pressure is mounting. He's got a level three as far as hot seat goes.
What does that mean?
Level three is pressure is mounting. Level one is untouchable. Number one is safe and secure. Two is all good for now. Three is pressure is mounting. Four is start improving now. Five, win or be fired. So he's still
feels
low.
About right. I think maybe 3.5. Like Tillman Fertitta is since he owns University of Houston, basically.
Yes.
I think he wants to win and wants to win now. 3 years has turned into a lot for college coaches. Now, boy, you're getting 3 years. I mean, that seems like an eternity nowadays. It is a school that's had a lot of success over the last 10 to 12 years with a variety of coaches. And Dana has not been one of those coaches. So if a third year happens where he finds himself behind Cincinnati and behind Memphis, maybe behind UCF or South Florida, yeah, it's not going to. It's not.
No, it's gonna be tough. He's got to win.
Bode well for him.
He's got to win. And now his preseason is much easier than it had been in the past. He's got Texas Tech, and that's about it. So he's going to pick up some wins there. But let's face it, Clayton Toon's got to play better. Clayton Tune has just got to play better. They've got good athletes. They've gotten a lot of guys from the transfer portal. They've got a lot of guys that they've been bringing up through the system. It is only his third year of recruiting. It is his, you know, this is, and there's no, and he did, they, everybody had COVID last year and everything else. He suffered from COVID as much as anybody did with how many weeks he, how many games they had canceled. I don't know that anybody in the country had as many games canceled as they did last year. So, you know what? All those, all excuses, everything else aside, you know what? He's got to win this year, and we'll find out whether or not he does. Some of the guys on here, like Jim Harbaugh, is a four. Okay. Pressure is mounting. I think that's an understatement.
I think that's pretty four. By the way, just to clean this up, Dana, you are right. 100% of the first 3 years, and then 60% of the final 2 years of his contract, which is $8.5 million, is the final 2 years. So 60% of that, which would pay him in the neighborhood of $5 million if they were to fire him without cause after this year. So that is something that Houston might do. So I would say Dana is probably at a 3.5 out of that tier group, is my estimation. Harbaugh, yeah, I think that's very fair for Harbaugh. And as a matter of fact, a lot of people in the NFL think even if he does pretty well this year, that he could bounce back to the NFL.
Yeah, I could certainly see that too, because he was a lot more successful in the NFL, and he was a lot more successful at Stanford. He's still 49-22, but it's Michigan, you know, not beating, getting slapped around by Ohio State. That's got to end. They're not gonna put up with that much longer. Ed Orgeron is a four on this list. Pressure seriously mounting at 45-14 and a national championship.
How is pressure seriously
well,
mounting?
Well, he had the issues, too. The
Title IX stuff.
Yeah.
Allegedly not reporting.
Well, that has to be 100% of it. Yeah. Let's be real. Is it really mounting at LSU, or is it mounting in this article?
Well, they were terrible last year, and he's already had to fire the staff that he hired. So he's got
terrible after everyone got drafted.
Sure.
But yeah.
That's true. But he's never... He's the native son until he's not. So great in 19 with Burrow, and we all know the deal. He had to replace staff members, and they were atrocious. So now he's already had to replace staff members again. So if it's a second time where the staff stinks and you're making those hires, the questions will start to build. Can he rebuild? The talent will always be there. They're going to be loaded. So they say, you got all that talent. Don't put together another crappy year. Because talent is not an issue. It'll be the coaches you hire that'll be the issue.
Yep. Clay Helton is a four on this. You could certainly see that at USC. He's been a four or five every year. He's Clay Helton. He doesn't look like Los Angeles. He doesn't talk like Los Angeles. He's always going to be a guy that's just not accepted in Los Angeles.
It's hard to win there.
Yeah, well, and you got to be. I mean, you got to be LA.
Who's
and
won
he's
there?
Anything. Terry Donahue was perfect for UCLA.
Who's won there?
Pete Carroll was perfect for USC.
But who's won other than Pete Carroll at USC?
John.
Pete Carroll was their Mac Brown.
Yeah. John Robinson.
Well, I won't say modern, but Robinson's in the last 35 years.
Well, I know, but John Robinson is all USC.
Well, Daryl K. Royal at Texas. You have your Mac Brown, Daryl K. Royal. You have a John Robinson. You have your Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
It happens. It can't be done. But apparently you have to be a very special individual to do it.
Yep, yep.
When was the last time John Robinson, do you think, was the coach?
Well,
he's 85
He had two tenures. He came back, wasn't so great, but when he was really good, it was in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
And then he came back in like the 90s.
No, all I'm saying is you say...
No, what? 76 to 82.
Yeah, and then he came back in the late or the early 90s,
93 to 97. Yeah. Was that not very good?
No, it wasn't great.
Okay.
Right. I was in L.A.
Justin Fuente's a five at Virginia Tech. He's got to win now. And otherwise, a lot of people, Walt Bell. Walt Bell is in some trouble.
At UMass? How are you going to win it?
Yeah. Who isn't in trouble at UMass?
Yeah. Don't care.
And nobody cares. Other than that, it's pretty calm out there. The waters are pretty calm. There's more than a few threes, but a lot of twos and one. Herm Edwards, they got as a four.
Well, because of the stuff with the recruiting stuff.
But even still. The Arizona State has been nondescript since Jake Plummer.
Yeah, but they they only played like three games last year.
Yeah.
So that prop, but the most of that has to do with, you know, the illegal recruiting. So he may not make it to the season.
Reggie Bush has his Heisman back. Do we care about illegal recruiting now?
Well, as long as the NCAA still...
As long as
the NCAA cares.
If you get caught. The only time we care is if you get caught.
And they got caught. At least they got snitched on by former employees at Arizona State.
Yeah, but you know what? They're disgruntled.
The assistant AD was in on it too, I think. So... The four has to do with what the NCAA might bring down and whether Arizona State cuts bait with everybody. Well,
you better remember this. We've never been in an era that is more heavily populated than snitch culture. There's some snitching that goes on now. Straight snitching. If you don't like what happened to you, I'm snitching. Well, and I'm not saying bad things. If somebody does something criminal, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying if you just think... Well, I'm mad at you, so now I'm going to hit the snitch button.
And who's the president? Mike Fiers.
Well, let me ask you this.
Straight snitch mode.
If you get fired because you wouldn't go along with the illegal recruiting that was going on.
No, that's not snitching.
Wouldn't you probably say, hey, I got fired because I wouldn't go all in on this?
No, you're probably going to tell.
You don't blackmail.
You don't know nothing about being Italian.
Legal blackmail.
You blackmail first.
How many Italian coaches are coaching at Arizona State? So maybe they're not all Italian.
Herm Edwards.
Here's what you say in the meeting. When you're in the meeting, this is what you say. I'm fired. You know, after all the illegal stuff that is here that has happened, and I've kept my mouth shut this entire time, and now this, you know, you start throwing a little like, why does he keep mentioning the illegal stuff? Well,
you don't say it after
you're
fired.
I mean, all the stuff that I know, and I know where all the bodies are buried, now all of a sudden, you're blackmailing without blackmailing.
That's how you get whacked.
That's how you get whacked.
You don't say that after you get fired, though.
Well, probably not by Herm Edwards. Is not going to get
you. You don't know. Herm Edwards, he could be mafia.
When we come back, somebody, now listen, mafia. When you're down and out, you think you're down and out, when something terrible happens to you, right? It's an open door for something else. There's an athlete who just had a door open, wide open for them. When everyone was thinking this athlete was down and out, something great, a great opportunity, a silver lining has emerged in the dark days for one athlete. We'll tell you who it is and what that silver lining is.
Well, so he doesn't need insurance now, does he?
Well, TGS Insurance said, yeah, actually this person does need insurance. You have to have, if you're a homeowner, TGS Insurance wants you to have competitive rates. There's no reason you shouldn't. A lot of people don't, though. A lot of people don't shop their homeowners rates. They go with one company, whatever commercial you see during a football game, give me the Mayhem guy or give me the guy from 24. I want to be on those companies. Okay, that's fine if they're giving you good rates. But what if you keep staying with one of these big companies and they keep raising your rates? Because that does happen. It happens with all homeowners insurance. Your rates go up and up and up. And if you don't shop for a new rate, you're going to end up paying too much. And unfortunately, A-rated insurance, you know, people pay too much when they don't have to. Text the word money to 232323, and TGS Insurance will hook you up with a A-rated company, but a much lower rate in most cases. The average savings is $900 annually, and they are just one text message away. You'll get your results within seconds. You will see what that firm quote is for your A-rated homeowners insurance. Text the word money to 232323.
Time to talk about, listen, not everybody is perfect, all right? Nobody's perfect, as a matter of fact. The best golfers, they three-putt. The best baseball players, they strike out with the bases loaded. If you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom, it's okay. But if it's bothering you, there is an option. GetRoman.com/John. You get a free online evaluation, ongoing care for your ED. A licensed U.S. healthcare professional will help you find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships free with 2-day shipping. Whole process, straightforward, discreet. GetRoman.com/John. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/John now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/John. Get started now. You save $15 on your first month of treatment. GetRoman.com/John.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Holy crap. Oh, my goodness. If Johannes Veerman is the leader after one round, I win $1,500.
All right. Let's see if you win that.
150 to 1 to be the first round leader.
There you go.
There it is.
That'd be a good payday. I told you that sometimes good things can happen.
To good people.
Good things. I accidentally just... Hold on a second.
What did you do? What did you do?
I just... God dog it. I accidentally got off the Twitter page that I was trying to...
That,
I want to read this whole...
I would. It would be good if you had that page up. That would be. That'd
yeah,
be,
I had it. I had it up.
And then you didn't anymore.
Yeah, I'm pulling it up. I'm pulling it up right now.
Are you going to bet on Johannes
Veerman? Here it is. No, I don't care about that guy. Here it is. Dr. Dabber. You ever heard of Dr. Dabber? It's my nickname, but also, have you ever heard of the company? Dr. Dabber?
No.
It's a vape company.
It's a bait?
Vape.
Oh, vape company.
Mm-hmm. They wrote this letter. Dear Mrs. Richardson, we were saddened to learn of your recent suspension from the U.S. track and field team due to THC and missing the opportunity to compete in the 2021 Tokyo Olympic Games. At Dr. Dabber, we believe that THC can actually have many positive effects on an athlete's recovery and overall mental well-being. Witnessing what you're capable of in the Olympic trials and how fabulous you looked while doing it proved your star power and ability to command the country's attention. Considering your talent and grace over these past few weeks, we would love to offer you the opportunity to work with our team as a spokesperson for Dr. Dabber. This entails testing our award-winning electric dab rigs and vape pens as a resident quote-unquote doctor. We would like to offer you $250,000 for this position and can make ourselves available at a moment's notice to further discuss specifics or questions you may have. Please let us know if you're interested. We look forward to connecting with you. So while she may have lost out on all of her hopes and dreams and all the hard work she put into for going to the Olympic trials for a test for a banned substance and THC, a little silver lining here, 250 Gs. And she can work for Dr. Dabber.
He's dabbed.
Vape pens, he's 250K.
Just, he just dabbed.
It's Dr. Dabber. I didn't make it up. How do you like that, right? That's pretty good.
No
consolation prize. All your hopes and dreams gone, but for $250,000.
So a woman who had her hopes and dreams dashed by THC and weed,
right?
And it prevented her from competing. Will now just start testing all this stuff, and it won't, you know, possibly
well
hinder her from here's competing my question. In the future.
Is this $250K a year? Like, is it a one time thing, or are we doing this annually? Because I want an annual deal.
Well, how much and
how much do your dreams and hopes and dreams and hard work cost? Apparently, they cost $250,000.
You think it's going to be best for her in 4 years if she's vaping all the time?
She'll probably end. So.
Maybe she was.
She'll be on the starting line choking. I mean, not
so you're
able
assuming there's no chance that she was smoking ever except this one. You know, I've never smoked before, but
no, I'm sure she smoked.
Okay,
I'm sure said, this is. This
we were
is,
told
it popped up in the system.
We were told she did it to cope with the death.
Of her mother,
yes.
Yeah. So,
and that's probably true. But if it isn't true, because people have.
Oh, so you don't believe things, Ron Washington?
Well,
okay.
The first time he ever used cocaine.
Right.
First, one of them is weed. The other, first time coke user at 50 years old. And she's like, what, 21 or something? I could believe.
Okay, she could make it back.
She could make it back.
Yeah. She can make it back. I'm just saying the hopes and dreams cost the. You know, could you do 1 year, do a vape pen for 250 Gs, and then, like, start training again?
So not compete for a year while you're doing
this. You can
still
compete.
You can't compete if you're testing positive for
things. I guess you'll keep getting suspended.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be great.
No.
I mean, it would be a great look for THC vape pens, I guess. But if you just say, you know what, I'm just going to take this year off and make 250 Gs.
That's all.
That's not the worst thing in the world.
No, it's not bad.
You mean a $250,000 vacation where you just... walk around and you just say,
Does she want to be the vape?
This vape pen will really help you with your well-being and your health. Where's my 250 Gs? And then, like, it's a one-year vacation. That's not the worst thing in the world, Dale. Yeah, your hopes and dreams are dashed, but only for now. Maybe you will still have hopes and dreams in 4 years.
You believe that's the brand she wants to put out there as the vape?
Yeah.
Dr. Dabber wants it to be the vape brand.
I know what Dr. Dabber wants.
What do you think that
Yeah, I know
you think people are going to be mad at her? No, they're going to celebrate her as a star. and doing this. So, yeah.
I feel like she's going to turn
better than
that
a cigarette company saying, hey, why don't you come do Winston's? We're trying to make a comeback. Maybe you do, you know, we've got a new Winston vape pen coming. You think they want to come in? No. I'm just saying Dr. Dabber wants to give her some cheese. Why not take that cheddar? Get your bag.
Because
we all want every. This is NIL all over again.
Because maybe she doesn't want to miss out on a year of competition.
What? Running all the time? Big deal. That's what she does. Anyway.
There are going to be a lot of competitions right after the Olympics.
Well, 2022, right? He said it's a year's worth. So she's going to miss out on 2022 stuff.
Right, but she's
got, says you.
Will she make $250,000? I don't know. What do they make?
Overseas, they can make some money.
Yeah, they make money.
250 G's.
Yeah, but she can still.
And then you don't have to run.
She can vape and run. It's not illegal.
Then she's going to be a product
tester?
What
they're testing. Well, if they're not test, no, there's always going to be tests. No, if it's a banned substance, they're not going to.
No, she can't do that, but she could vape. She could be the face and vape regular non.
Or she can not vape and keep getting that cheddar. She could still run and speak for the vape pen and still run and not test positive because she didn't smoke it.
Or she's an enthusiast.
CBD and she doesn't get the THC.
Or she's an enthusiast and she likes to smoke.
Well, then she won't run anymore.
Well,
that's what Dell's point is.
Right.
All I know is that it all ends with $250,000.
Well, if that's your
goal.
Would
you quit this show for 1 year for a vape pen that tells you, John Granato, we're going to give you 250 G's?
Yeah, I would quit this show forever.
You see, Dell?
Well, that's him.
Would you? If somebody gave you $250,000 not to do vape pens and not.
I don't have an elite skill that would be hampered by the vape pen.
Exactly. You're never going to get this 250 G offer.
This is her.
We're no. talking
like me, of course, but her.
Of course you would.
That's different.
We all would.
She probably
quit trying to
won't.
Pocket watch Shikari Richardson.
I'm suggesting to you that maybe the $250,000 payment isn't enough for her to do that. You know, because she won't be able to compete in, you know, the things she likes to do quite a bit.
I'm just saying take a year off. Well, relax.
Grab that bag.
You do you for a year. Treat yourself like my girl on not Community, but Parks and Rec once said when she was having her own cupcake. Yeah, do you for a year. Just relax, enjoy yourself, vape pen. What? That's great. Do it when in a legal state. Get your 250 G's. Take some time off.
Who
do
said
the
that
Jimmy
on
Fallon
Parks and
show.
Rec?
Do a Jimmy Kimmel show. Do that James Corden show. Go on Colbert.
Go sing.
Go on Tucker Carlson, which would be a weird interview, but whatever. Just go on and do all these different. Yeah, do the carpool karaoke thing. Host Saturday Night Live, getting a home run derby in the All-Star game, whatever. Everyone else is opting out. You never know.
You think she can win the home run derby?
No, I didn't say win, just compete. Go in a rock, go do like a celebrity basketball game or celebrity softball game. And guess what? 250 G's. It keeps rolling in. Why does Dell want you to work for free? This is typical you, Dell.
Yeah,
college
real,
age kids
jerk.
Working for unpaid what internships.
What do you mean?
Here, run for me.
What do you
run
mean?
Run for me, athlete. You don't get the bag.
What? I've never
typical Dell.
I've never watched her run, so I don't care if she runs or not. What do you mean work for free?
Are you going to tell D'Arre King he can't take his NIL money also next?
You will, not me. You're the one with the problem.
I'm trying to get her the bag.
Well, what if she was still? I don't know if she even still runs it. Is she still a student at LSU? But if she was at LSU doing this, you'd be like, oh, what? Well, it's so unfair for all the other runners. You wouldn't want her to get her bag at LSU. But now that she's outside of LSU, sure, get all the money you want. You're the hypocrite, not me.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. It's 944 ESPN 97.5. But what about getting that $250,000 to the kids for their cars?
Nah, that's great. Or eyelids, but that's a whole different thing. The one that's been doing it for years and that's not shady and that is 100% helping kids with a second chance at a diploma is Cars for Kids. And they want to make it very, very easy on you, extremely easy on you. What they do is they tell you if you have a car, whether it's running or not, or it's a truck or it's a motorcycle, or it doesn't matter to them. They will come out. They will pick it up for you. They will even do title searches. So even if you don't have a title, they'll search for the title and the transfer, and they'll even give you a $50 Visa gift card if you mention you heard about it on ESPN 97.5 radio, and they come out there and give you the tax write-off. And that's why the mantra is write off the car, not the kid, because you do get that tax write-off. It's a great benefit for you from a tax standpoint, and you're really helping a kid with the Houston Can Academy. So make sure that you go to carsforkids.org if you want more information, or give them a call and get the process started right now at 713-225-4226.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We started the show this morning, and we haven't talked about it since, so we really need to get back to it. The Rockets, one of the biggest stories yesterday was the Rockets and possibly trading up to get the number one overall pick. There's a system, Dell, for, you know, NFL trades, NFL draft pick trades, and you have a chart what each pick is worth. I have no idea what moving up from 2 to 1, what that would take in the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because either. What value is there for 23 or 24?
For a team like the Pistons? I mean, you may want to continue to take your shots at finding young talent. So I could see some value in that, particularly if the player you like, isn't really the player the Rockets like. Like the Rockets can trade up and get their guy, and you like a player better. Why not make that trade? So, but how much would it take to move down?
What does it take to move up from 2 to 1? We know it's very costly in the NFL.
Yeah, but you got 22 spots to fill for starters. You got 5 in basketball. You know, the more I think about this, my initial impulse is, man, why would the Rockets be doing all this for one spot up when this is supposed to be one of the best, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 that the draft has seen in years and years, probably since the LeBron draft with Carmelo and Dwayne Wade. This doesn't make any sense. But then the more I think about it, you know, basketball is all about finding that one dude. And if they think Cade Cunningham is the dude, why not try to get the dude? If you think that's the dude, that's the guy we build around. That's the guy who can run an offense like James did. If you think he's that much better, why wouldn't you go out of your way to get the best guy?
But it's so much different than football because, you know, you would trade up to get that dude that's a quarterback. And you would give up.
Isn't that the same, though? Isn't the ball, the primary scorer and facilitator, that's as close as we have it to a quarterback?
You think in basketball, that Cade Cunningham could be considered a quarterback?
Well, what I'm telling you is the guy who can go close to 20-10 from a point to assist, although Russell Westbrook's done it, it's been irrelevant, but James has done it. He's been MVP caliber for a long time.
Well, Russell's been MVP too.
Yeah, he has been MVP, but we're starting to see, well, he's put up big numbers on some subpar teams.
Yeah, right.
But my point is, the lead guard, Trae Young, Steph Curry, James Harden. The lead guard who can also get you a ton of assists, Russell Westbrook. That has a ton of value in today's NBA. That's as close as we get to a quarterback. And Chris Paul, who is an old school point guard who can also score, what he's meant to the Suns he's meant everything to the Suns. So I think that if you view Cade Cunningham as that kind of high scoring producer of assists as well, to where he's responsible for X amount of points, X amount of offense, then to me that's the same as getting a great NFL quarterback. I mean, it makes more sense.
If you get a lead guard that's going to be an all-star, perennial all-star, yes, I agree.
I'm talking about a lead guard who scores and gets the assists, both. That's what the NBA. That's what drives the NBA.
Is Cade Cunningham that guy?
I don't know. I mean, he's 19. He's played 1 year college basketball. He's hardly the best he's ever going to be.
No, right. And again, he's got everything that they're looking for, and he is the consensus. I haven't heard anybody say, "Oh, you should take Jalen Green or Evan Mobley or Jalen Suggs over him." Nobody. Zero. I mean, not the where I've seen. I mean, maybe it's that everybody. Oh, well, Cade Cunningham. It is just Or we're all just programmed. It's Cade Cunningham. He's the number one guy. Okay, so what do you have to give up? Like we talked about with the Astros, you know, boy, Max, go get Max Scherzer or go get Craig Kimbrell. What do you got to give up?
Yeah.
It's a much bigger, different story. If it's the 24th pick, Okay. I'll give up the 24th pick and the second for him.
But it may not be. But if you get it right, the 23rd, the 24th, that's all irrelevant. If you get it right and this guy is clearly the best player in the – if you have a chance to get the best player in the draft, you trade all your first-round picks for the best player in the draft, because having the best player in the draft is typically a really big deal. If you look historically, yeah, it's or getting a really good player in the draft, it's a really big deal relative to the 23rd and 24th. We can all cherry-pick a great player that was drafted 23rd or 24th, but if you look at the – my guess is if you look at 23 and 24, historically, it ain't going to be that great. It's not you'll be able to cherry pick some of them.
Right. Okay, how often is the number one overall pick the best player in the draft? Zion Williams. Okay, Anthony Edwards. Was he the best in that draft?
No, but he's...
Well, he turned out to be pretty damn good.
Well, he might be, actually.
Yeah.
He might be. It's still... He's really come on. So maybe
was Zion Williamson.
Yeah, he's starting to really come on. He had a monster year this year, 27 a game.
Was DeAndre Ayton? No.
No, but he wasn't a miss either.
No, he wasn't a miss either. But was Markelle Fultz?
No, Fultz was partially Simmons. Good injury.
No.
Who was it that year? Who was?
Ben Simmons
has been a good player.
Ben Simmons was first overall.
Brandon Ingram, yeah. Jaylen Brown, Chris Dunn. Not a great year. Jamal Murray has come on. Buddy Hield.
Murray. Would you take Jamal? Absolutely take Jamal Murray over Ben Simmons.
Ben Simmons has had, I think, the better career, though, so far. Jamal Murray also wasn't that same player until the bubble, and then he tore his knee up this year. So, I don't know. Ben Simmons, being a little disrespectful, Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons had a pretty good career so far.
Let me give you the last time something like this happened, what the value was. Boston had the number one overall pick, thanks to Brooklyn, and they traded it to Philly because Philly really wanted Markelle Fultz. Mm-hmm. So what Boston gave up was their own third, and they gave up a first rounder in 2018 or 19. Now, the caveat to some of the stuff is some of the protections. Like, one of the picks could have been the Lakers pick if they finished between 2 and 5. So Boston was taking a chance that they could get a top five pick back along with the three, or a pick from Sacramento or Philly, who at the time were bad teams. So they were hoping that Philly or Sacramento or that Laker pick would be a high pick. Right now, if we're going by what we see on the Rockets board, it would be a low round pick. So to move up two spots, Philadelphia or Boston was banking on getting a premium pick back along with the third that they actually received. They didn't get any of those because it just didn't work out for them. So that's kind of what the value was just 4 years ago. Your own pick plus a premium future pick. The Rockets.
Well, 24 is not a premium.
Yeah, the Rockets would have to be dipping into next year, although that might go to. I don't know how the pick swaps work with OKC, but.
Well, so look at this, and this is, and I'm going now. Greg Oden was obviously a huge bust, injury related, but a huge bust in 2007. But when you have the first pick, I'm just going to go right up. Tell me the bust, or tell me the guys who you don't think were great players. Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose was the right pick. Blake Griffin, very good pick. John Wall, very good pick. Wall was beset by injuries later, but we're talking about a guy who was like at 20 at 10.
Mm-hmm.
Kyrie Irving, very good pick. Anthony Davis, very good pick. Anthony Bennett, bust. Andrew Wiggins.
Bust. Bust.
He's not bust, but he wasn't He wasn't the best pick.
No.
Karl Anthony Towns, good pick. Ben Simmons, not a bad pick.
Embiid was the third pick in that draft.
Yeah. No, he ended up being better even though he missed the first two seasons. Ben Simmons, that's not a bust. And it's not even a bad pick. Ben Simmons has been a good player. And that wasn't even a great draft. Markelle Fultz, bust, some of it due to injury. DeAndre Ayton, good pick. Zion Williamson, good pick. Anthony Edwards, good pick. Since about 2008, for the most part, when you have the first pick, you're doing pretty well. It's a pretty good win percentage. Now, this is supposed to be a really deep draft in the first five, at least, for impact players. So you may not – you're at number two, you should get a good player if you're the Rockets. The question becomes, is getting the number one guy on your board – worth giving up two later round first round picks? And I think the answer is probably yes in the NBA standards. I think the analytics is going to drive this for the NBA and for Rafael Stone and Eli and those guys over there. And I think they're going to say, based on our value system with pick 23 and 24, they probably have a historical number, a value on those picks. My guess is that they will think that that has enough value to flip from 2-1. And if you're Detroit, if your board is close between pick one and pick two, why the hell wouldn't you do the deal? Except for the fact that you could be looked at as the team that passed on the top pick.
Yeah.
In the fear of looking like fools.
Yeah.
Because there's been lots of mistakes made at number two.
Yeah, but plenty of mistakes. And, you know, Detroit, if Cade Cunningham is the... If I'm Detroit, I'm like, no thank you. No thanks. I'm going to take the best player in the draft.
No thanks.
Unless you love someone else.
Yeah.
And then why not get something extra you were going to take there anyway and just move down the spot?
And maybe Jalen Green is right. If I'd have gone to college, I would be that top pick. But because nobody saw me, because I didn't play against the competition that they played against, because you might believe Jalen Green.
Or you would have gone to a college system where it was less like an NBA system, and your skills might have not been showcased as much because your college coach had a different way of going about it. You never know, depending on where you pick.
But where does that have? Well, don't the great players usually shine anyway?
I don't know.
Zion, he was a top prospect. Wasn't he number one or number two in the whole class? Like, my guess is he would have gone to one of the
big hammers.
I'm
not saying he wouldn't have been bad, but some coaches have a system that they're not gonna completely change from one guy. And maybe whatever system he was in wouldn't have showcased his talents like an NBA system did in the G League. The pick and roll, the isolation. Maybe he wouldn't have gone to a school that would have employed that.
Yeah, no, that's true. Or he might have gone somewhere where the smart coach that would have employed his, that would have he's the best player.
But people who do this for a living got some pretty good tape on him, though, in the G League.
Yeah.
I mean, it may have actually benefited him. Because all I know is that two of the top five players are G Leaguers in this year's draft.
Yeah.
So
if I would have gone to college, I would have been number one overall. What, the NBA evaluators watched you. I mean, maybe you wouldn't be, maybe in college the people who make the mocks would have put you number one, but the people who are making these picks saw you in the G League.
Yeah, but, well, according to the number of shots he took, he wasn't really, he wasn't the coach's focus on his G League team. Well, he only took 14 shots a game.
Well, how many did Cade Cunningham take in college? So I'm just saying they saw you. I mean, I don't think playing in college would have changed because they got to see you, man. The mock drafts might have changed, but people got to evaluate you. Maybe you would have played more games.
Maybe he'd have been more dominant in college against lesser competition.
Who knows? But I don't know.
Yeah, I think that was his point. If I was in college and I would have been more dominant against playing against, you know, Sam Houston State. Nothing against Sam Houston. Well, actually, they're pretty good. But
yeah.
But playing against lesser competition, I would have been much better.
Cade Cunningham took 14.8 shots per game too. So it's not like they.
I
ain't gonna be sad if they.
I
trade
put
up
that
to
on Cade Cunningham.
I'm not gonna be sad if they trade up to.
I didn't
one.
Think he was assertive enough.
As long as they don't trade one of their future ones, I don't want them to trade a future one to move up.
No.
Of course,
no.
If you're trading the Nets one next year,
Yeah, right.
Isn't it next year that you get one?
Well, you get one like every other year for 12
it's
years.
It's basically like trading one of your 23 or 24s this year, only probably worse.
No, what is it? You get to swap with them, flip-flop for years or something?
Pick swaps and
5 years for the next 5 years?
No, the pick swap for every other year. It's pick and then pick swap every other year.
Right. All right, 10 o'clock, Lance. You know what that means.
Well, first... Lance can't leave just yet because he's got to talk about something. But first, John, we've been talking a lot of hoops.
Oh, you're damn right we've been talking a lot of hoops. You know why we've been talking a lot of hoops? It's because hoops, sporting goals, and equipment. That's right. What? Hey, listen, your kids, do you want your kid to be the number one overall pick like Cade Cunningham? Well, if he doesn't play basketball, guess what? He's not going to be that. If you don't have a goal that the kid will enjoy, not going to be that. Yep. If you've got a house and you want it to be with the broken backboard, with the rim that's tilted, with no net, that needs painting, no. You want the best goal in the history of goals. Your wife will love it. Your kids will love it. The reason the kids will love it is because they can actually have fun on it, Dad. They can lower the goal so that they can actually play and enjoy it. They can't enjoy it now. They're too short. They're not going outside to play on a 10-foot goal. Let them hang on the rim, dunk, practice their dunks. They're going to love your hoops goal, and your wife will love it too because it looks great. And you'll love it, too, because you don't have to do a thing. All the installation and everything else, all done by Keith Tate. And that's a big part of it, too. It's going to be perfectly installed. So you're looking for the best goal in the market? It's not even arguable. It's ProDunkHoops.com. Tell Keith Tate you heard it right here. ProDunkHoops.com.